everybody. Welcome to PBTP, Powered by the Players. Powered by the Players is an actual play podcast featuring mini campaigns and one-shots of all your favorite PBTA games. Each campaign or one-shot will be a different Power by Apocalypse game with a rotating cast of diverse players. Let's power up.
Hey everybody, this is Kristen, your producer for Powered by the Players. Before we start this week's episode, I want to let you know about a new Kickstarter that is launching on Wednesday, August 26th. Arium is a standalone toolkit for world building that is designed to streamline the creation of any world you and your friends want to play in. You can create a world based on your favorite TV series, book, or movie as a backdrop. The rules are fast, fun, and only require a fistful of dice and a few tokens. Whether you're new to role-playing games or have been playing for years, Arium is something you will want to check out. Look for it on Kickstarter on Wednesday, August 26th, and support it if you can. This is our last episode for Bluebeard's Bride's one-shot, and I want to thank Miriam, Fiona, Gemma, Diana, and Morgan for playing an intense and exciting game. Since I did not play in this one-shot, I heard it for the first time during editing, and I was on the edge of my chair the entire time. If you're not already following Miriam, Gemma, and or Fiona on social media, check out their handles in our show notes. All three of them are involved in other projects that you should definitely be following and supporting if possible. As a reminder, Bluebeard's Bride is a horror game. This last episode in particular gets pretty intense in my opinion, so if horror is not your thing, go ahead and skip this episode and either listen to our Fun and Light Masks campaign or give a listen to another cool actual play podcast. I recommend Monster Hour or Forever GM Pod. Both are hosted by fantastic GMs and have an incredible cast. With all that out of the way, let's get to our one-shot horror game of Bluebeard's Bride.
Please pass the ring.
I will. I will pass it to the Fatale.
As you stand outside that door, Fatale, what ring draws your attention next? What key draws your attention next?
Well, I kind of step away from the door and maybe up against the wall and just breathing really heavily. That was very disturbing. Try and very calmly take the keys and look and try to find something that does not seem like it would take us to anywhere bad. And I think she finds a key that briefly stands out from the rest because of it's matte black and very simple, doesn't shine because of the matte varnish over it, but the handle or the end of the key is just a simple yet elegant design of like a multi-pronged crown. Yeah, I kind of pulled that one out and let's try this one.
So you go down into, you're still in the south wing, so you walk along the hallways here. You actually, not too far from the bathhouse, you find a door. The door is tall and thin, upholstered in a matte black leather. The shiny black handle is shaped like a woman's hand with long, delicate fingers. Holding the hand, you open the door. The room beckons, you enter, and the door closes behind you. This large room smells of honey and sweat. The ceiling is made of ornate tin tiles painted black. The patched wooden floor is stained a deep black, and the walls are covered in a matte black leather, broken only by black iron candelabras holding black candles. Against one wall is a padded cot covered in black leather, with buckles and straps at each corner. In the center of the room is a circular table made of ebony wood, with a black face holding black roses. Opposite the cot is carved a wooden chair upholstered in black velvet, sitting on a dais with four black tiled steps. In front of it is coiled a silken black rope.
A robe or rope?
Rope.
Oh. I walk into the center of the room and kind of take in all the darkness and intriguing color of decor compared to everywhere else, I suppose. And kind of touch the black candle. Just kind of like touch everything, like kind of tactile feeling everything. But then I definitely want to make my way to the rope. And I would like to
exercise room, maybe.
I don't think
exercise.
It's a definitely a form of exercise, dear sister. I would like to investigate this mysterious rope, even though I'm pretty sure I know what it is for. Maybe.
Okay. What questions do you have?
Whose item is this?
You look at the rope. Are you holding it? Are you touching it? Or are you just?
Is it hanging or?
It was just on in a coiled on the ground.
Okay. I think I'll go down. I'll pick it up. Yeah.
Okay. As you pick it up, you feel the silken rope in your hands. It's soft, yet pliable, but because of the weaving of the rope itself, it feels like it's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. And as you just fold it over your hands and feel this, you get an idea that the musky scent of Bluebeard coming off of this rope. And then you get various other fragrance of various floral scents and like earthy scents just wafting in and out as the rope sort of just moves through your hand. Not any particular spaces on the rope itself, but you do get various scents of other scents. You get a sense of other scents.
Okay.
On the rope.
Right.
Other people scents?
I mean, that's for y'all to decide.
I inhale deeply and I smell him, sisters. It smells lovely, but I smell something more. Do you, am I wrong?
No, there's something else there too. Something metallic.
I'm curious what memories this rope has.
And as you're holding it and moving it through your hands, the bits that move off your hands, because I'm thinking that you're just pulling it through, you see it starting to take shape, and you see that an image above you, a woman kneeling in front of this throne, this chair on the dais. The ropes, and you see the ropes, like the one, the rope in your hand, the end where you have it, where it fell from you, goes and ties around her wrists and around her chest like a harness. And you can feel the rope sort of like tightening in your grip a bit as you can feel her tugging against it. And then you hear soft sounds of amusement. Yes, slight hint of uncertainty in that laugh.
A laugh behind me?
No, it's just, it's in the memory itself. So from the woman in that image.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then as soon as you take that in, the rope falls slack once more.
This sort of play is not unheard of. She seemed very new to the game.
New to the game?
Game?
Well, I kind of put the rope back.
So there is, as I can list it out just plainly, there's the black padded cot with the restraints on each corner of the bed, the wooden chair upholstered in black velvet, and there's an ebony wooden table has a black face of black roses in it.
I want to go to the bed and sit near one of the end of the posters and kind of take a restraint and caress it a bit and still look around. And I want to, would take stock be applicable here? I mean, it says in a tense situation, and I don't know if like,
I don't know if this is tense as of yet, but okay. we can definitely do it if you want to.
Cause I was just, I'm just wondering.
I mean, it is dense in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, hey, hey.
Because I would have, my question is kind of like looking around on all these sexual toys in Fatale's eyes, like, what does this place demand of her?
So as you sit there, perfect, this is actually where I kind of want to lead it to. As you sit there playing with the restraints, you feel the heft of someone sitting down next to you. And you look over and you see it's a woman, probably about your age, that's just as curvy as you are, but her face is a little bit rounder. But she wears almost like a masquerade mask over her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And her hair is pulled back taut into a ponytail. She's wearing pretty much nothing, but she does have some elbow-length gloves on that are like a black leather. And as you look over to her, she looks at you, and she's like, she smiles a bit. Her lips painted like almost like a blood red, and it's a sweet smile, almost like, you know, amused in a way. And she's like, "So you must be the new bride."
That I am. And I slowly eye her up and down. And who might you be, or have been?
I'm just one of Bluebeard's toys. She says, just like with a giggle, and she reaches over and gently touches. Slowly reaches over to like reach out and touch your face. She's like, "I know what he wants. I know how he likes things, and I can help you. I can show you how to be a perfect little toy for him."
I look at her, and I take a hand, and I slowly caress her back.
Okay. She just smiles.
I have to admit, I am experienced in these kinds of things, but I suppose it wouldn't hurt to get some advice and experience from someone who's already experienced it, I suppose. Tell me, what are Bluebeard's desires in his bride?
And she just giggles, and she stands up, and she's like, "I'll show you." And with that, she goes to sit in the chair and crosses her legs, and she looks down at you, and her playful coyness changes to a cold, stark face where her smile drops. She's like, "Kneel before me, stool."
Oh, I follow her, and I'm a bit cautious, but I'm still game. I kneel in front of her.
As you kneel and you are on all fours, you feel this coldness creep up from your feet up to your legs and up your ankles, up your calves. And you look and you see that it almost looks like your legs are turning almost like the black ebony wood, like the temple itself. Take a trauma.
Oh, shit.
I think I took it too far this time, sisters.
You think?
Get up.
I'm trying.
Try harder.
Oh my God.
Don't be a stool pigeon.
Don't. I'm going to shiver from fear. I don't like this feeling of being stationed and being like someone's literal furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So you can keep the ring and choose two of the listed below, or you can pass the ring and choose one.
Okay. Ooh. I am going to pass the ring to Mother. And I will choose "It infects the bride with its perversion."
So cool.
I think as soon as you pass it in Mother's, I think we've gotten a pair of wooden legs now. That's what this is. Just from the knees down, the knees are still joint bendy stuff, but like the shins, the calves, the ankles and the feet are all Pinocchio. Like, so walking will be a bit tedious and quite noisy, but
possible.
But you can still move around.
Okay. All right.
And mother, you are now in control. You have the ring.
You need to save us, mother.
Why is it always mom's job to save everybody? All right, let's see. I'm going to use one of my face moves.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to use the martyr.
Ooh.
Which means that? You will take your love to the end of the world when you offer forgiveness for the sister's sins. Mark trauma 1 for 2 to heal that sister. And so I think I'm going to heal the witch.
Oh.
Because you've got the most trauma.
I got 3.
You've got 3, right?
I don't want to be that person going, please heal me. No.
Because you've got the most. And yep. Fatale's got 2, right?
Just 1.
You just have 1. Which has
Virgin
3.
Virgin has 1.
Virgin has 1. So now I have 1, and that you get to remove 2.
We're all on 1. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So now everyone has 1.
We're all equal.
So I'm a good mother. I think we got to escape before we turn any more Pinocchio.
Do you want to escape or propose a truth?
I should propose a truth.
And as you stand up and you look around, you see that the woman that was there, you know, looking at you is now just a full wood mannequin, just sitting there cross-legged staring at you.
Damn. I think perhaps this is where somebody who did not fall in line, this is where they got Pinocchio'd, and that they got turned into pie.
Whatever this horror was, it clearly has been puppeted in some way by the by Bluebeards, and what Bluebeard wants of us. Surely this is not right, sisters.
I no longer believe that our husband has honorable intentions.
Hooray! I'm glad somebody said it. I wasn't sure.
To be honest, I was relieved and kind of intrigued by his proclivities, but after this, and I make the bride point at her legs, I think... I don't think this is what I would like in my bedroom activities.
So what token do you take, and why does it represent the faithfulness or disloyalty that you choose?
It's going to be disloyalty.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to take one of the harnesses off, like, one of the legs of the IKEA.
The little straps. Yeah,
one of the straps.
Okay. All right. So you take one of the leather straps. It's probably like 2 inches thick.
Like a cuff.
It's like a cuff, yeah. With the metal, like, grips.
Yeah.
Does it have Velcro? Also black. So it's black leather with black metal. With that, you take that. You one last look at the mannequin doll just sitting there staring blanklessly at you. And you leave the room. Ugh. Mother, you're in charge. What key do you go for next?
I'm going to go for the most boring key on the ring. It is like a plain old regular like house key.
I think more and more as we explore these rooms, it just certainly to me feels like what Bluebeard wants in a bride is someone submissive and someone that can bend to his will. And if they don't, they break.
Then why did he pick us? He must have known that we aren't that type of woman.
I should have never given him those recipes.
But he wanted to make an honest woman out of us.
What? A man should not make us do anything, Virgin.
Think about this. All the people we've seen in this house, all the women, as I said before, they're the ones who have suffered because of him. Not because they've done anything wrong outright, other than go against his will. That surely is not right in any case.
No, but we haven't done anything against his will yet.
We've not fallen into line. Regardless if we fall into line or not, it's clear he has killed people here. The body in the kitchen is enough of that.
Well, that might have been the chef. And the rest of it could just be really bad staff.
But honestly, what kind of man is he that he would keep these people in his employ? I don't want to bed or be intimate with a man who doesn't know who sleeps in the same estate as him and does this.
This seems there's too many coincidences. We've been to 4 rooms and they've all been horrible.
But it was the servants. I mean, maybe he's really bad at seeing which servant actually reads his will correctly.
I guess they only want to please him and make sure whatever is for the best of him, but...
He's not here. He's not the one doing it to us. It's all these servants.
But who hired them? Who trained them? Who told them to do this?
I don't know.
So still in the south wing, you walk around and you just, this assuming silver key, is that right? Just plain silver?
Brass.
The brass. Oh, thank you. You find a door that is a dark gray wood with a textured brass frame. The handles are recessed. And it's only after you've reached out to take hold that you realize that the opening is sculpted in the shape of a beast's mouth and you've grasped a fang. The room beckons. You enter and the door closes behind you. This room reeks of incense and perfume. There are 2 rows of creaky wooden beds piled with white and gray linens. Scattered among the bedclothes are the remnants of hurried dressings, ribbon, stockings, pots of coal, beaded combs. One bed is pushed further towards the wall than the others, and there is something dark staining the floor beneath it. Above each bed is an ivory plaque of the Virgin, one hand of her exposed heart, the other reaching to heaven. The closest one is missing a hand. Painted on the wall under it is a chart of the moon phases.
I'm gonna take stock. What traps have been laid for the bride?
Okay. As you take stock, you look and you hear the soft hum. You hear a soft hum at first, and then you hear it get a bit louder. You start hearing some sort of chanting in an unknown language.
Well, that can't be good.
Can, as a maiden move, can I investigate a mysterious object?
Okay, which one do you want to investigate?
You had mentioned the Virgin iconography, so the one with the missing stump, perhaps?
Okay.
I would like to ask, what memories does this item hold?
As you pick up the wooden stump and turn it over in your hands, you suddenly get an image. Actually, it's more of a, you start feeling that this wooden stump. And mind you too, if you don't know how the Virgin holds her hands, it's usually just like a finger pointing to heaven. And as you're looking at it, all of a sudden you see that the finger itself becomes slick and there's a bit of blood on it. And as you look to the bed that it was on, you see that there is a woman there lying naked and breathing heavily. And you do see that her legs are spread and there's a bit of blood. And she's kind of in a C4 state that she finally did the thing that she needed to do. She was able to use the hand like a dildo to break her hymen. And then you hear there's more, the chanting that you've been hearing does get louder as there's images of women, 13 naked women entering the room, and they're applying coal to each other.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's K-O-H-L. Yeah, it's the like the
way Godzilla.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Eyeshadow, eye powder, okay.
Eyeliner.
Yeah. What's your next question?
Why did Bluebeard keep this item?
You think about it and you hear
And you still see this imagery going on in front of you. And you hear the laughter from the woman who broke her hymen and all that. And as she looks, she's like, you hear her saying, "It's going to happen. I will finally be able to conceive. It will happen for my husband." And I think that the idea of her trying so desperately hard to fall into these practices to try to conceive, to be the rightful mother and dutiful wife, is quite interesting, maybe.
And I just look to the mother and everyone and say, correct me if I'm wrong, witch, since you read a lot, and also the mother, aside from not, you know, being a virgin, don't you need to actually be with your husband to be pregnant?
Well, there are many writings about things that can help improve one's fertility. I've got to be honest, though, shoving a hand up there probably doesn't.
That's not been a proven success story.
No.
Nope. And after all we've seen, who would want to conceive with our husband?
Children in this house.
This is not a place to bring children. No.
Again, could that be something, like you were saying, like, even if we fell into line, if a bride falls into line, is the correct posture, is submissive, but yet can't bear an heir, does that mean they are unfit to be a bride for him?
Is he incapable of conceiving a child?
And then the blame comes upon us sisters, if we cannot provide.
That would make a lot of sense.
He's using his brides as some sort of
excuse.
Baby factory or some such?
But if there's nothing wrong with us or with them, is that why he doesn't want to touch us?
What if, for whatever reason, we can't meet the standard that apparently he has? I think we need to... I don't think we should stay around and ask him questions. I think we should go.
I agree. I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I don't think we should. There's just too many things that I don't trust about this place anymore.
But as the Virgin said, this is all circumstantial. We've not seen anything to connect him with the memories, or we're just making assumptions here. But
it is his house.
Maybe we could go home when he comes home, and when he comes back, he can come to our house and we can have a conversation.
Okay, we'll write him a lovely note.
But I think even then that's out of line. We are his wife now. We have to follow the rules. And I feel like leaving unannounced or anything, like, without him here, that could have repercussions on all of us, sisters.
Oh no, what if we put our family in trouble?
I fear we already have.
But not only that, who's to say we won't be the last?
We need evidence. We've got, what have we got? A fucking pie?
But that pie has a body part in it, most likely. So that's not something.
But it still doesn't prove the fact that it was him who did it.
Okay, our legs are wooden now. There's also that.
I almost forgot about that.
Also, you have a burn in your hand. You're missing some hair.
It's been a day, and this is what has happened to
you
us.
You got some scratches in your back. Like,
oh, come on.
That is true.
You know what the outside is going to say. It's they're going to blame it on us and our clumsiness or whatever nonsense they
think is true. Or the staff. At the most, they're going to say the staff did it. Never going to be Bluebeard.
True.
We need hard evidence that it's him, and I think the only way to do that is to keep exploring.
Okay, so I guess we're gonna leave the room.
Are you going to escape? Or are you going to go take a token of disloyalty or loyalty?
Well, I think loyalty is out of the window now.
So just to let you know, if you do propose the truth and it's you take a token of disloyalty, that moves us on to our next part of the game. Because we filled out that track. So that will move us into the last arc of the game.
Okay.
So if we do that, just to let you know.
Well, I think we've decided we want to try to prove that it's his fault. So I think that's okay. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're ready.
All right.
So you want to propose a truth for this room?
Yes.
Detail what you think happened in the room, to whom, and why.
I'm going to pass this one to the others.
I think that was one of the brides who, I mean, somewhat straightforward of trying to produce an heir and trying to produce an heir without actually doing the deed. And it seems to be more about putting the blame on themselves rather than it takes two to tango.
All right.
Sort of driving them into sort of a madness and trying untested means, putting their health at risk and their sanity at risk.
Yeah.
What token do you take that supports your decision?
The stump.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So you take the hand of the Virgin Mary and you put it in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the token of disloyalty, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
So as you take the token and you stick it in your pocket, the images disappear and it's just a quiet room now. You step out of the room and you stand in the hallway. And to let you know, this will take us to the last bit, which is because one of the tracks is filled, will take us to the final room. You had traveled these dark halls in search of the truth most divisive. Each room provided you with all the evidence you desire to make that one fateful choice. Now you stand before the forbidden final room and you must decide. So since you filled up the disloyalty track, do you go into the room or do you escape?
Can't let this happen to any other brides.
Yeah, I'm good with presenting to the town.
I just don't think they'll believe us, that's all.
We should still try.
Hopefully they'll listen to reason. At least start an investigation or something.
We're a respectable woman. They have no reason not to believe that we're speaking the truth.
All right. So as you stand in front of this forbidden door with the key in hand, as you're looking at the door, you decide just to turn away and just run out. You run down the hallways. You go down various staircases. You eventually find the main entryway where you started, and you find that the big double doors, and you leave out into the outside. You leave out of the gardens and the front fountain and the front entryway of the palace itself, out into the grass and towards town, ready to present your evidence. I get to ask you questions now in regards to what happened.
Okay. Oh.
And I will ask each person a question. Everybody at least answer one question each, just so we don't have multiple. So whoever wants to answer, I'm actually just going to go in order, and then we'll choose whoever wants to choose the last one, because there's five.
Okay.
Yeah. So Fatal, the first question, since you're first on the list, what did the town do to rid themselves of the bride's disloyal ravings?
I think some of the bride's, or at least Fatal's aspects of her like past affairs kind of take into place, like all the little flirtations and like half truths they've said to her suitors kind of bite them in the butt, and just like, oh, she'll say anything to gets what she wants. This is just part of a ploy. It's not enough that she already has like a fancy schmancy husband now. Yeah, like just rumors like that. And it kind of starts from those past suitors and kind of just starts spreading around the town, I think. And that kind of starts their dismissal of what we've been saying.
How do they rid themselves of your... what do they do with the ride?
Is that still my question?
Yeah, it's basically the question is, what did the town do to rid themselves of the bride's disloyal raving? So it could be your suitors being like dismissing it, but how do they rid themselves? Do they just like wave you off and push you away, or do they lock you up?
Like would shunning count?
Yeah, shunning definitely counts. They shun you out of town.
Yeah, if I try to go to any public spaces, I mean, there's this maybe side glance, but other than that, it's almost like we're not there.
Okay. Yeah, you were shunned from town. Who's next on the list? Mother, is that right?
Yep.
How did Bluebeard blackmail the bride's family into silence?
I think as part of our courting, he had probably promised some sort of business dealings with our family. So he threatened to go back on those and kind of financially ruin the family a little bit.
So basically, in order for him to keep them silent, he'll pay them?
Oh, yeah, okay. Kind of paid them off.
Okay. Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
What loving gift does Bluebeard send the bride for their wedding anniversary?
So it's a very lavish and inlaid, like with gold and silver filigree, a small hand mirror, but at the back of the mirror, almost like a hologram, there's a picture of Bluebeard. There's a sort of a thing of Bluebeard and a little note that says something on the lines of, so you can see what I behold and love the most. Because then in his eyes, holographic eyes, I see myself.
Ooh, yeah. That's pretty full circle.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also super creepy because he's staring at me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Always looking at you.
Yeah. He keeps an eye on you.
Sometimes they even move when I sort of look out of...
Ugh. Mm-mm. Hate that. Okay. What new room in Bluebeard's house haunts the bride's dreams every night?
I think because of the sort of pursuit for knowledge and for the pursuit of something, some sort of concrete evidence or some sort of like a sort of pursuit of getting something that's unattainable and possibly forbidden. I like the idea that it's, if you imagine like a, you enter the room and it's like a grove of trees that seem to go on, stretch for miles and miles, and you sort of look behind and it's a little bit like Nightmare Before Christmas, the tree, the door is into the tree itself. And around all these trees, on some of the branches and stuff, there are books, amazing tomes full of amazing writings that you know contain secrets to the universe or secrets to how to better oneself, how to help others, how to solve crises like poverty, war, famine, but they're all out of reach. And just knowing that if I jump, if I try and scramble up these branches, I'll just cut myself and injure myself more and not be able to reach any of that juicy, juicy knowledge that's hanging above.
How, and this is for anyone who wants to answer, y'all can work together since it's the last question and all y'all at least answered once. How does a bride make herself at home in this perfect new room?
I was going to say in denial.
Yeah, I think, yeah, forever trying desperately to get this one is never comfortable. Maybe sees another tree, go, I'll try that one. Maybe if I can get up that one, I can jump to another and I can get this knowledge. It almost becomes like a crazed obsession. Until it just becomes a part of this room. There is just somebody in there, maybe out of sight, forever scratching and making these horrible noises and possibly screaming to get at these books.
And searching for a river.
Patel, Mother, do you have any more additions to this?
It's like a prison, but it's their prison. So to a degree, it's like they're familiar with it. So there's a degree of safety to them there.
Any last things, Patel?
No, I mean, I was just thinking of like what I think it was. Is it the witch who was saying you know, there's always like a shadow light or some sort of presence always just trying to reach. And I just kind of think maybe there's also like a voice that would also go like, I can almost reach it. I can almost reach it.
Bluebeard's bride is Fiona as the witch, Miriam as the virgin, Gemma as a fatale, Diana as a mother, and Morgan as the groundskeeper.
Thank you for joining us for our one-shot of Bluebeard's Bride. Join us in 2 weeks when we start our new campaign, Monster of the Week.